Hope everyone's having a great weekend. This is our week in review, a look back at some of the most compelling segments of this past week. Brand new episodes back again Monday morning at 5 a.m. here in the podcast.
This is an examination of the hidden human condition.
This is the Hidden Killers Podcast.
The Hidden Killers Podcast.
With Tony Bruschi.
Stephen Smith's body exhumed just last week, a second autopsy performed on it. And yeah, surprise, wasn't a hit and run. Although we've known that for quite some time. The new exhumation of the body and new evidence in the case being found on the phone of Stephen Smith that is in the possession of Sled now. Hopefully inching closer and closer to narrowing in on who or whom may have been behind his murder. Joining us to discuss the investigation into this case is former FBI special agent Jennifer Coffendaffer. Jennifer, where do you see this going now that the second autopsy has done? Do you think there's any new evidence that's going to be coming to light out of this?
Well, I do believe that the first autopsy that was done, I don't know that there was any issue with the findings, with the autopsy per se. In other words, did they weigh everything correctly? Did they take the appropriate photographs? Did they document the bruising? Did they document everything properly? Mm-hmm. That I'm not sure there's an issue with. The issue comes with the conclusion that were reached. And I believe this autopsy, the second autopsy, will reach a different set of conclusions using both the autopsy facts and evidence from the first autopsy combined with the second autopsy. There is no way, physically speaking, that the second autopsy can offer more or better facts mm-hmm. concerning the condition of the body. But will a different conclusion be reached as to the cause of death? And I think it will be.
And that's an interesting thing, because the first one, if you read it, the conclusion, it doesn't match the findings. And the same thing with, I mean, this new one, we're assuming that the findings will match the conclusion. So that's where I think a lot of confusion comes in. How that finding was reached is, I think, the big debate. How did it get there? Who made that call where it said, you know, A plus B does not equal C, it equals Q or something like that in the first one? Who made that that decision to be so off on the conclusion?
The pathologist. It's very clear. She makes this conclusion, and she bases it in part based on her own statements as to where the body was found. And she really discounts what law enforcement was telling her about the fact that there was no debris in the road. There were no skid marks. The body was, you know, appeared to be sort of placed there, if you will. Mm-hmm. So she sort of discounts all of that. And in fact, says that you guys, that's your job to figure that part out. I'm telling you what, you know, the findings show. So again, I always say incompetence mimics cover up.
Yeah.
A lot of people think, oh, it's a cover up. Well, it's really not a cover up. It's just incompetence is so bad, it makes it look like a cover up.
And that's what I think everybody wonders, because yes, it certainly looks like a cover up, because how could you have your own findings here and come to a completely different conclusion? That doesn't make a lot of sense. I'd be curious to see other autopsies that she's done and the findings and the results of those to see, is this a trend? Is this a pattern where she's not coming to accurate conclusions based on her own findings? There's obviously other pieces of evidence that are out there, something that I'd been asking about for quite a while, and we found it in the last week. Stephen Smith's phone, still in existence. Apparently, Sled has it, and it has been unlocked. That was something I was wondering, is it missing? Is it lost in the evidence? It's there. I'm very curious as to what we're going to find on that phone from back in 2015. What are your thoughts on all of that?
I think they'll find a lot of evidence concerning text messaging, concerning everything from location to exactly when it was turned on and off. I think communications in terms of phone calls that were made and received, what you would expect, Tony, we have never had that outline or pattern released publicly as to what the cell phone told, because it took a long time to get it unlocked and SLED wasn't really investigating at that time. So because of that, Tony, we don't have any of those details. I think it'll be a treasure trove.
And because this was never investigated as a homicide, the physical evidence, the crime scene evidence and such, not necessarily gathered in a way that it would be if it were to be looked at as a homicide. So a lot of those pieces just gone, or didn't even exist in terms of being looked at. How difficult is this going to be to prosecute, to actually narrow this down to someone when some of those building blocks of the case were simply never put into place?
Well, I think the biggest problem with this case is really trying to understand how that body got there. Was he killed in another location and dumped out of their car? That, you know, from the evidence I've seen, and I've looked at every piece that's available publicly, as well as the photos, that's kind of what it seems might have happened, why he has a little bit of road rash, why there isn't, you know, flat spatter that you would expect if he was hit from a rear view mirror in a high velocity or just a hit and run. But as you said, because it wasn't investigated as a homicide, was he beaten, you know, somewhere in those woods when he was walking and they came upon him? Did he reach out and call someone? We're going to have that information to see if somebody, he contacted somebody to call, you know, because he was out of gas, right? That would make sense. You're out of gas. The first thing you do, even though it's the wee hours of the morning, is you call someone and say, can you pick me up? Can you help me out here? Did that not happen? Was he walking back home and just these two individuals came upon him? Tony, I think there will be charges. I think there will be a conviction, despite the fact of some of this evidence not existing.
How far down the road do you think it's going to take to find the suspect here and a conviction to go on the records?
Well, Tony, I think that they have their suspects. There's two suspects.
Yeah.
And those suspects were named in a Fox article. And actually, I tweeted about it recently, and I believe from information I have independently from that, as well as the information from the MATE report that actually discusses these two individuals. And actually, there's, you know, a witness that says, hey, this person said they did it. I think that's who these individuals, I think that's who it's going to come down to.
This is an examination of the hidden human condition.
This is the Hidden Killers Podcast.
The Hidden Killers Podcast.
With Tony Bruschi.
Jennifer Coffendaffer, former FBI special agent, thank you so much for your insight. Always appreciate talking to you. If you like this show, be sure to press subscribe wherever you download podcasts so you don't miss any episodes, discussions, breaking updates, occasional show tunes, you know, the huge. We bring it to you as soon as we can on every single case. You can get an ad-free experience when you subscribe through Apple Podcasts right now. You can try it for 3 days free. My name is Tony Bruschi. You can follow me on Twitter at TonyBPod. Stay with us.